Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. This week, we join two executives from Resorts World Las Vegas, Scott Sabella, the president and CEO, and Donnie Taube, the senior vice president of international marketing, to discuss the opening of the groundbreaking resort later this month. IGT celebrates 25 years of Wheel of Fortune slots, the brand players seek on every casino floor for its life-changing jackpots. Learn more at igt.com/WOFslots25. Resorts World Las Vegas promises to be a game changer on the Strip. The first new casino to open in 10 years, Resorts World Las Vegas will take advantage of all the technology advancement in hospitality over that time while delivering a fresh new product to Las Vegas. Scott Sabella explains how he spent the last 2 years honing the attractions of the property, and Donnie Taube talks about how the marketing of the property will appeal to international visitors once they start returning to Las Vegas. They spoke with me in April for the cover story of the June edition of the magazine from hotel rooms at Resorts World Las Vegas. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We're here today with two executives from Resorts World in Las Vegas that are, it's going to open in June, and it's an exciting property. We have Scott Sabella, the president of the property, and Donnie Taube, the vice president of marketing. So welcome, gentlemen. I appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for having
us. Hey, Roger. Thanks for having us.
So you've got three hotel brands there. What's the differentiation between all the brands?
Well, like us, there's three brands. We partnered with Hilton. We spent a lot of time selecting the right partner, and Hilton was definitely the right partner. Besides their great Hilton Honor database, they're a forward-thinking company, and they have a lot of different brands. So it was important to have a luxury brand, a premium brand, and then ultra-luxury brand. So one tower will be Hilton, 1,500 rooms. One will be the largest Conrad in the world, 1,500 rooms. And then we're introducing Croxford's, which is coming. We own from the overseas, will be coming here. That will be our ultra-luxury brand with 250 rooms. But not only for casino guests, but for non-casino guests. And we want to change it where the person that doesn't gamble is still treated like a high-end VIP, even though they're paying for everything.
Sure.
We're doing a paradigm shift when it comes to how we market it. And that's what Donnie's been overseeing, where we don't have casino hosts. We are resort hosts. Everybody that spends money here is going to be taken care of like they're a casino customer. And we're trying to take the way it used to be done and bring it to a new way of thinking when it comes to dealing with our guests.
Okay, great. Donnie, when I was in Singapore, I stayed at the Sentosa property, and the Croxford's hotel was really unique. I was surprised at how luxurious that was. Are you trying to bring that same level of luxury to the Las Vegas property?
Absolutely. And the great part is each location where we do have a Croxford's hotel component, whether it's Singapore, Genting Highlands in Malaysia, each of them has their own unique twist to them. And we have that opportunity here to do the same as well as we're recreating and creating this brand for North America as well.
Okay. So another big push for your property is the food and beverage outlets. And boy, you've got a collection of them that I've never seen put together before. What was the strategy behind choosing all these different food and beverage outlets?
Well, the key was to be diversified. And we didn't want it to have all five-star restaurants, but we have some. We don't want to have all low-end restaurants, but we have some, you know, casual restaurants at the same time. So it was picking and choosing the right partners that would bring that experience to Las Vegas. And we selected them on that reason. And we're excited that what we have, we got some great ones coming in from the California market. And then all the Asian restaurants we'll oversee because we're an Asian company. But we like the mix that we brought in from, again, five-star down to three-star casual restaurants, something for everybody. That the key was not to alienate anybody. When you come here, there's something for you. And that's, I know we achieved that, and that's how we programmed the property.
Yeah. And Donnie, what kind of guests do you think you're going to attract to each of those? Is it going to be like the high rollers and then the, down to the mass market?
Yeah, no, agreed. And what Scott said, as you take the paradigm with what's happening at the hotel with the three different brands, we apply that actually to all our F&B outlets as well, where there is something for everybody.
Right.
And I think that's what makes the Genting portfolio of integrated resorts so unique, because it's not just, as Scott mentioned, it's not the gambling focus, or it's everybody. You know, even Scott can talk more to it, is how we actually designed the building, where customers who seek out certain amenities will go out and find them. And I think that's very important to us. And if you look at across all our properties, whether not North America or in Asia, that's how they're set up. So there is something for everybody. You know, and the whole thing too is, when you're in Las Vegas, you know, customers like to let their hair down. So we do want to encourage that high-end guest. They want to have a drink just as well as everybody else in a fun, exciting environment. So all these other amenities that we've created, that Scott's introduced to us as well, it's going to be phenomenal, because people can really interact amongst each other, regardless of demographic.
Yeah, no question about that. So what kind of retail experience are you supposed to have? I was really surprised with the number of retail shops you're going to have. It's almost like an eclectic shopping mall, you know, within a casino.
Yeah, somewhat, but they're more of a boutique shops.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't want to do what's up and down the street, a big mall.
Right.
Yeah, we really found some great partners, same approach, trying to find different type of stores that align with our customer base. So there's higher end stores, there's lower fun stores. It's more convenient and comfortable stores for everybody. So yeah. We don't want people to walk around like, oh, we can't afford to go into our stores. Yeah, there's stores that you can't afford. And we purposely select those type of stores. And then they're spread out throughout the property. So there's just not one zone for retail. We're doing it differently, where there, you'll see shops throughout the property. A lot of them are in our district area, but there's shops throughout the lobby areas and the walkways to the casino and things like that. But not big stores. And then a lot of pop-ups.
Yeah.
In today's world, we could have a store for 2-3 months, and then next time you come here, it'll be a different store.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things while there's big conventions in town and partner with them, and it could be a pop-up for 1 month, and it's part of the brand that's in Las Vegas. So we're going to do a lot of fun, unique, and creative things when it comes to shopping. And it's not going to be ordinary type of retail that you see, you know, everywhere else.
Okay. So how have you thought about how the traffic operates within the property, how people go from one area to the other? I remember when Borgata was opening in Atlantic City, before they opened, they actually set up, you know, pathways with drapes in the convention center in Atlantic City, and kind of counted the steps between things. And how did you guys work on how the traffic flows throughout the property?
Well, you know, Donnie knows better than anybody, but we're really good at building integrated properties.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say they are. What's the definition? I don't really know, but we think we are, because it's a city within a city.
Right.
We have a 5,000 seat theater. We mm-hmm. have a 300,000 square feet of convention space. We have all the retail you talked about, all the F&B, 7 pools, 3 different brands. You don't need to leave this property. You can spend here 3 nights and do something every night, not run into somebody. It's that
right.
big. But you're right. The traffic and the flows was most important to us. And
sure.
It started with the arrival statement. So we took advantage of this 88 acres. There's 4 main entrances here. 3 of the portico chairs are as big as MGM's. There's no tunnels. There's no hidden way to get there. It's easy to get in, and that's where it starts. And then when you check in, the days are gone when you walk across the casino floor to find the elevator. You check in at any lobby in Resorts World, and you're at your elevator in 30 seconds. Get
right.
to your room, unpack, and then come down and come experience the property. And that's how we laid it out. And the casino was just a backdrop. You know, the casino came afterwards. It was
right.
more the flow of having different zones of entertainment, higher end restaurants, more casual, the district. But I think it being so big, we did a really good job of making it flow very easy.
Mm-hmm.
We're bigger than the MGM.
Sure.
You don't realize.
Right.
You'll see really. How big it is, but it flows much nicer because we planned it that way from the beginning.
Right.
And I think it's noticeable. I don't want people to think, oh, it's a big place and I can't
right.
get around. And I think we did a great job with how we laid it out.
So, Donnie, do you hope to have something interesting around every corner as you walk through the casino and the property itself?
Oh, I think the design team, the marketing team, our lifestyle team is really providing experiences, really, not just around the corner, but really every few feet.
Yeah.
Again, you know, being the newest property, having the time to master plan what we're doing here at the opening, and really creating that experience for a guest. And I think what happens is a lot of operators out there forget that you're also the consumer.
Right.
So the approach that we've taken, Scott's taken, and he's preached it to us is, What would you do? You know, you go on a certain website to book a flight, or you go to a hotel because of certain things, or it's because they have a certain personality to them and the staff is cordial and you know, it's not cookie cutter and it's not corporate. And I think those type of elements are really going to stand out when the public gets an opportunity to experience Resorts World.
Sure.
For big money thrills, IGT's Wheel of Fortune slots is the one your players seek. The game that's awarded over $3.3 billion in jackpots is celebrating 25 years as a top-performing slot brand. With more than 1,100 millionaires created in a quarter of a century, Wheel of Fortune slots delivers heart-pounding thrills for every player every time. Celebrate with us as we unveil the new Wheel of Fortune games and player promotions designed to drive excitement to your floor. Visit IGT.com/WOFslots25 for more information. Now back to our podcast.
Let's talk about the theater. I know that's a really important part of the property. You just announced some of the headliners that are going to be there. So give us an update on what's happening with the theater and how that was designed.
Well, we formed some great partnerships, and AEG is one of them. They're the best in the business when it comes to finding talent and running these big boxes with theaters. They helped us design this theater, and it is by far state-of-the-art. Nothing like it maybe in the country because the advancement with technology when it comes to the sound, the lighting, the furthest seats, 135 feet, 5,000 seats, located in right there in the casino, easy to get to, adjacent to the parking garage, has its own valet, porte-cochere. And then, of course, like you said, we just did a commercial with some talent that we haven't announced yet. When they're going to start, but we're really excited who we got. And there's just, it was important that we just didn't go out and get good talent. They had to be partners with Resorts World when they're performing and not performing. Mm-hmm. So all the ones you saw in that commercial are doing things with us that besides playing in the theater, they're our partners. They'll have pop-up stores. We'll help them with their endorsements. And they're like an ambassador to the property when they're not here, but really, really excited that we have the entertainment side tied into everything that we're doing here at Resorts World.
Great. So explain about the nightclubs. You've got a couple of nightclubs and you've announced some big names and DJs there as well. What's the strategy with the nightclubs there?
We wanted to do something differently. So we partnered with Zouk, who is the number one nightclub in Asia for many years. Right. They've been established for over 20 years, and we're bringing that to Las Vegas. We're not just bringing the name. We're bringing their expertise when it comes to programming and what they do in the nightclub. The last thing we want is a nightclub like the running up and down the strip today. That's not what we're doing. So we built it, we designed it, and we're programming it to do different type of things. We did engaged with two big ones, Zed and Tiesto. Mm-hmm. But again, they're partners. Right. So Zed's helping us with a lot of different music things throughout the property. So will Tiesto. We'll be doing events with them besides playing inside the theater. But they're more of our spokespersons, our partners, our ambassadors. And of course, they're two great DJs. But we think we're going to do it differently than how it's working up and down the strip when it comes to programming and what we're going to be doing at the day club and at the Zouk nightclub. So it's going to be exciting.
Okay. So Donnie, that generation that goes to the nightclubs is obviously important to all casinos. How are you approaching that draw for that generation at the Resorts World?
You know, it goes back to what Scott just alluded to a little bit earlier regarding, you know, we're done with terms like casino marketing, casino hosts.
Right.
We're all resort marketers, gaming and non-gaming. So, you know, when individuals have a large spend at any, not just the nightclub, but any of these venues that we do have is, it's up to us to create that high-end experience and really that acknowledgement that, hey, the guest has spent something. And sometimes it's not monetary or anything else. It's really just access. Mm-hmm. So to be able to give these individuals access, not just looking at a club or a restaurant as a standalone, but integrated into the entire resort. Are you staying with us? Are you dining with us tomorrow? Did you know we had a different venue as well? And all those elements, when they come together, truly going to create that guest experience. And again, a city within a city. You shouldn't have to leave. And that's how we're going to approach this.
Okay, great. So let's talk about meetings and conventions. Obviously, that was a big focus when this property was started. You know, it's changed a bit now, obviously. So did you have to change your plans in terms of, you know, putting more high tech into the meetings and convention space and that kind of thing?
It was always the plan, to be as, again, take advantage of technology and make sure that the rooms are done differently than what you see today, because how you can design a room and set it up in the beginning. But we're always going to be a convention property. We purposely selected this land because of the new convention center. That had a lot to do with it. We knew it was coming. Sure. So now we got the convention right across the street. We partnered with the boring company. We'll be the first ones to have access to the tunnel, taking our guests to the new convention center. We're definitely a convention property, and it's easy access. All our convention space is on the second floor. Mm-hmm. And then the convention pavilion is a short walk right past the theater. So everything is designed where it's not long walks, easy access. And again, making the flow of the property so much easier than what you've seen in the past, only because we have so much land.
Sure, and that's commendable. I mean, you know that the walk from the MGM hotel to the convention area, you had to have lunch on the way. It took so long to get there. So you figured out that that's not the way to go at Resorts World.
Yeah, just easier to do after the fact. We did the best we could when we were at the MGM added it, but now we designed it to have that flow much easier because again the size of the property.
So. You know, with meetings and conventions slowly coming back, I think we got the first one in June, which is exciting. How do you think, how long do you think it's going to take to really ramp that back up again?
I'm being optimistic. I've always said a long time ago, it's going to come back faster than any other city. And we're starting to get a lot of calls, a lot of leads. Of course, it won't come back this year like it was pre-COVID, but I think next year you're going to start seeing these conventions coming back. They never really canceled. They just kept delaying and pushing it out. They want to come here. They want to do business. It's the best city in the world to do business at. We got a lot of convention space, a lot of restaurants, hotel rooms, all that type of stuff. It's what we're built for. Right. And I think it's going to come back. And I think a year from now, you will be almost to where we were before. And we're already starting to book some big groups for 22, 23, 24. And that's just not us. It's all over the Strip. Sure, so it's absolutely good news, and it's I think in a couple of months it's only going to get better.
Yeah. So, hopefully in a couple of months we'll be back to 100% capacity, given the oversight of the government. But, you still have to have some COVID policy in the place. What kind of policies are you going to have when you do open?
Well, what we're doing is health and safety was always a number one priority.
Sure.
Before COVID. And, we spent as much money as we could to have the best air quality system money could possibly buy.
Right.
And we're glad that we did that. We even advanced it after this happened. The way we cleaned the rooms, the technology on the phones where you can do everything on your phone if you don't want to deal with an employee and things like that. We'll be prepared, but we're hoping, like you said, that there are no restrictions. But if we have to have plexiglass and the distancing, we'll be prepared to do that. But I think going forward, just the way we clean the rooms, the story that we tell, how safe the property is, sure, the air quality and the advancement on technology with your phones and things like that is something customers are going to be looking for in the future. And we thought that out because that was always, again, it's a core value of ours and it's really important to us.
Sure. So Donnie, you got some big customers in Asia at all your properties out there. How are you going to bring them to Vegas?
If you look at in today's environment, obviously with COVID and stuff and seeing how, the vaccines are being rolled out and everything as well, is right now it's about the education to the guests about what we're trying to build here and so forth. And how do you keep the guests within the ecosystem of all the Resorts World properties? And as, travel restrictions ease in these other jurisdictions, it's just not about arrival into the United States, but it's also the return trip as well. Is we're very thoughtful on how to approach it and sensitive, obviously, to what that is. But as Scott said, as things start opening up, not just domestically, but internationally, and you start seeing increased airlift, I think that's when you'll start seeing that international guests come back as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So, Genting and Resorts World is a recognized brand on the East Coast, particularly because of the two great resorts you have in New York. But on the West Coast, it's not really very well known. What are you doing to really get the word out about Resorts World on the west side of the country?
Great question. And it's been somewhat difficult because of the COVID situation. So we're very sensitive of not over making too much noise about Resorts World in the past 6 months, because everything that's going on in today's world. So we slowly release different aspects of the property with some press releases, and we've done a good job at that. And I think we've gotten everybody's attention now. I think people know it's real. We are opening, but you're right. What's that big red building? What's Resorts World? And that's right. Going to take a little time, but mm-hmm. that's part of why we're here. We want to establish our brand. We've been doing this for 50 years. So it's not a startup company. We're right. pretty good at what we do all over the globe, and mm-hmm. we're pretty good back east. So that will take time, but you'll see a lot that started this week, a lot of marketing, a lot of advertising. But I think it's going to take more work, even with the community on who is Genting, what's it mean, why did they come here? And we're looking forward to being more involved in the community and to educating our locals and our tourists about our great company. And I think you'll see that when you come, because we're taking all those great things that we do everywhere else when it comes to integrated property and the service. You know, we're bringing back that family style of operations that this town was built on. And that's what we're excited about, how our staff's going to treat our guests, treat each other, and the things that we're going to do in the community to really establish our brand.
Okay, great. So, we understand that Resorts World Las Vegas will really be the first property to open on the Strip with full cashless transaction capabilities. Explain how you expect that to be received by your customers.
This is Donnie's wheelhouse. So I'm talking.
Go ahead.
You know, I think, like you said, it has everything to do with how we approach this mm-hmm. property and how we really come forward and say, how as a consumer do you transact daily in your lives? As operators, we say we always have a playbook, and we always go with the playbook. But today, it's about ease and ease of service, ease of access, and familiarity, right? Customers today are already ingrained on how to use their phone, whether or not, again, it's airline reservations, hotel reservations, food ordering. And I think what will happen is that adoption rate, which we've seen lag in the past years with other companies because they're pivoting, we're coming out of the gate with these innovations. So I really think, regardless if it's casino, if it's the hotel, F&B, other elements, I think this will be perfect. And you know, one of those is, again, Scott mentioned it with AEG and with their system with access and so forth. Everybody knows how to order tickets. Everybody knows how to do add-ons. So we're really just creating those building blocks and building up that guest experience to the way we all do, right, as a consumer. And that's really been our approach.
Sure. So I know you're working with Sightline. Are you working with some of the others? I know IGT has their resort wallet and things of that nature. Are you working with all the vendors then in this case?
You know, with respect to the vendors and stuff too, everything's a moving target, right? Technology is good as it is today. What else is there out there? So, you know, collaboration is a key to everybody and your success and how you don't go dormant. So, you know, yes, of course, Sightline is a primary, but obviously with the fast pace of technology, we look at everything, you know, we really do.
Right, right. So Scott, you just mentioned, you know, how you're building your employee base and, you know, Genting is a great corporate culture in Asia, but, you know, this is a big property that's got to have a kind of a sub corporate culture. And obviously it's a beautiful property, but it's not going to go anywhere unless you provide the top level of customer service. So how are you encouraging, you know, your employees to develop this corporate culture?
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. You know, with money and common sense, you can build anything today. So it's just a great building and we know it is, but what's going to bring it alive are the employees, and they're our number one asset, not all this money we spent. So we know that, and we're very excited that we got over 115,000 people applying to work here. So it tells us that people are looking for this type of opportunity, but we're really hand selecting everybody. There's a system in place where you take a test, you do a little video on yourself, and it's all about finding people that want to work in hospitality. It's not about experience. It's about having, you know, people that are gracious and enjoy working with people, and we'll train you. So we're not just going out buying experience. That does help, but we want people that really, again, like I said, enjoy what this type of business and hospitality. So it's getting the right person, and it's training them, and then staying on top of them and making sure they understand what their role is and they're treated right. And our right. benefits are just yeah. as good as anybody's. You know, the employee is our number one asset before the customers. And I've always said that. So they're going to be treated good. They're going to have good bosses. They're going to have great benefits. In return, you know, we expect them to provide great service. So it's something that it's our core value And we're not just going to count on, oh, we have a beautiful building, so it will do well. It's all about bringing it to life with the employee base. But we're excited with what we've done so far. We have over 600 employees on board, soon to have 5,000 in the next couple months. So it won't be easy, but we're excited who we've made offers to and who we've hired so far. And it's just not up and down the strip. There's people from other states coming to work with us. And it's just been exciting with the response that we've gotten. And we're just glad that we're opening now. We can help provide more jobs for the city of Las Vegas.
Sure. And you got a great pool to work with here, you know, with this pandemic, a lot of people were sitting on the sidelines. So I guess how excited are the 600 you've hired so far to see, the opening date so close now?
I think it's been really great because, you know, we're open without a culture. So we have to set this culture up now and establish it. So the 600 people that are here is part of that. You know, I was, I think, a number five here, 13. Donnie was like, you know, number two or third employee hired here. So it starts with us, and we set the example, and we're the progress of the culture. It's coming. But it's been a lot of work, and I think when the 600 people finally saw we announced the date, you know, it really hits home like, wow, now it's going to come to life. And we all really have to work hard. At the same time, keep working on this, establishing this culture, because it needs to be somewhat there when we bring all these new employees on board. But it's been working out well.
Great. So what are your expectations of the property over the next year? I mean, certainly if this had been a normal year, the expectations would be really high. Have you tempered them down a little bit?
No, they're still high. We have different beliefs. You know, we don't believe that it takes a while to establish this building when we open it. You know, we're going to make money the first month, and we're confident that we will be. We're confident with what we're building when it comes to how we program it inside. We know when it comes to the beauty and the design and the elegance of it, it will be well liked. And like you said, the most important part is making sure the employees play their part and their role, and they will be because of how we set it up. So we're confident, we're not cocky, but we know we're going to make a difference, and we're proud that we're opening now during this time because we can help Las Vegas rebound. But I hope you don't interview me in 3 months and ask me how long it's going to take to ramp up, because we're ramping up day one. It's a different world today on how you open a property, and it's completely different than how they opened 11 years ago. And that's been our game plan since day one. And we're not going to hire, you know, 4,000 employees over than what we need and me lay them off. I'm way past that. I don't want someone to leave a job and come here, and then we have to get rid of them. So we're hiring the right amount of people that we know that we need for the future. Right. And that's how we set this whole process up when it comes to opening Resorts World.
So do you think there's a chance that Resorts World could kind of supercharge the recovery of Vegas just because there's going to be a lot of attention when you guys open?
Absolutely. And not just us. I mean, think, Roger, through this pandemic, I don't know what other city didn't stop construction when it came to, besides Resorts World. We just opened a beautiful stadium, right? The convention center just opened. He opened downtown with Circa. The Virgin just opened. And then we still got the building going on over across the street at the Sphere. So look at all these great things that have happened in this city during a downturn. No one stopped. And I think that's what's going to help us rebound when we talk about these great things that the city's open and will be opening on part of all the great things that we have here. So we know we'll be part of that. And we hope we help re-energize and bring Vegas back faster than it normally would be.
Great. Well, guys, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you, and I'm excited to see the property. Can't wait to get in there and walk around and enjoy myself.
Thanks for all your support. You've always been great to us. Thanks, Ron.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by IGT, where the Wheel of Fortune slots is celebrating 25 years as the Millionaire Maker with 25 weeks of giveaways, contests, and big money fun. Celebrate with IGT at igt.com/WOFslots25. To learn more about the opening of Resorts World Las Vegas and its impact on visitation to the town, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.